This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, a Thursday edition before the Super Bowl. This is the January the 29th, and glad to have you along with us for the next hour. And, boy, looking forward to both of our interviews today, but looking forward to catching up with a member of the coaching staff of the world champion Seattle Seahawks. Pat Rhule is going to join us, offensive line coach. He's been with Coach Pete Carroll for a number of years. They've known each other going all the way back to the late 70s, all the way back in their time at Arkansas. And so they are together, know a lot about each other, won the world title last year, coached together at USC, won college championships there, and a whole lot more as well. So we'll be talking with him. Tom Luganbill will also be joining us on the Doug and Danny Show. He is ESPN's National Recruiting Director, and we'll find out the very latest now that we're less than a week away. Who's making some moves? Who could get better? We'll talk with Tom coming up on the Doug and Danny Show as well. As we said, yesterday was a pretty quiet day locally in sports. Huskers, Lopers, Broncos, nothing going on as far as live sporting activities. That will change today, of course, with the Husker women back on the court as they host Illinois. And of course, if you go to the game tonight, you'll look over there and you go, huh, wait a minute, that girl over there on the Illinois side, she looks a little familiar. Well, Minden's Brooke Kissinger now, of course, plays for Illinois. Limited time, but just a true freshman. Has been in and out of the game a few times during the first season there. So if you're going down, you'll take note of that. Tip-off tonight is at 7 o'clock. Now, it's not televised tonight, so make sure you catch it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, where we continue to carry Husker Hoops, Nebraska, and Illinois tonight, 7 o'clock. Then Michigan rolls in on Super Bowl Sunday for a 2 o'clock tip against the women, and the men will be at Minnesota on Saturday night. For UNK, the basketball teams will be at Washburn College tonight down in Topeka, Kansas. Women at 5:30, the men at 7:30. The Washburn women are 13-5, but all five losses have come in the MIAA. And then the men, 10-11, they're also 5-5 in the conference. For the Lopers, the women are 11-8 overall, 5-5 in the conference. The men are 12-5 overall, 7-3 in conference action. So that's what's going on for the Lopers. And next Monday, we are scheduled to be joined by Concordia's new all-time leading women's basketball scorer, Bailey Morris. Did it last night. She poured in 30 points against Doan, now has 1,805 career points. She, of course, started her high school career at Silver Lake, then she went over to Sandy Creek, was an all-stater, part of championship teams, and has been a catalyst for third-ranked Concordia, who has now won 16 in a row. They have just one loss on the season, and we would have had her on today, but they have to play basketball. They're on their way to Michigan for games this weekend. They have the Concordia Invitational. Other universities that are going by Concordia, they'll take care of it. So they're flying out this morning and heading to the 64th Annual Concordia University Tournament up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So that'll be going on, and Bailey is set to join us when they return on Monday. Speaking of Concordia, I'll be there tonight. So will the Kearney Catholic girls basketball team. And if you can't make it down, we invite you to join us. There are some big games tonight, always are, but a couple on the girls' side in Class C. Kearney Catholic will host West Point Guardian Angels. Their only loss is to Crofton. Kearney Catholic's only loss is to Hastings St. Cecilia. They are 1-2 in the Omaha World Herald, and Guardian Angels is third in the Lincoln Journal Star. Guardian Angels is second ahead of St. Cecilia. So should be quite the battle tonight, 7 o'clock here on ESPN Radio. And Crofton is hosting Pierce. They are the C1 and C2 defending state champions. That's going on tonight. The Centennial Conference semifinals are this evening. The girls' semifinal at 6 o'clock from Lincoln Christian can be heard on 1230 AM KHAS as the St. Cecilia Lady Hawks, or Hawkettes, take on Concordia High School. And Mike will have the call of that for you tonight. Meantime, on Classic Hits 98.9, we'll be in the Loup Platte Conference at Wood River as the Eagles take on Gibbon, and that gets underway around 6 o'clock. Again, all of our games are available online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Other games in the area tonight, speaking of Sandy Creek and where Bailey Morris used to play, one of their biggest rivals, Sutton, and they go play there tonight. Amherst is at SCM, Donovan Trumbull's at Ord, Superior's at Red Cloud, Deschler's at Kennesaw, Lexington is at Adams Central, Fullerton is at Centura. There's two state-rated girls teams there, and Eustace Farnham is at Elwood. So there is some basketball to go watch tonight between some quality teams. In the Central Conference Tournament, the Northwest girls will play Holdridge in the semifinals tonight in York at 7:45, York and Fairbury the first game. The RPAC tournament continues today in the East Division. Yeah, it's weird when Bartley is in the East Division, when that's East. Well, the West is Hayes Center, but tonight at Southwest High School in Bartley, it'll be Southern Valley against Bertrand in the girls' semifinal. Out West, it's Dundee County taking on Juanita Palisade. And the York City Auditorium will be buzzing again this afternoon and this evening with the Crossroads Conference semifinals and finals. It will be the Giltner Meridian girls at 3, the Giltner High Plains boys at 4:30, then Hampton Exeter Milligan girls at 6, Exeter Milligan Bruning Davenport Shickley boys will play at 7:30. And some news today that Bill Wolford is going to be stepping down at Aurora. They've lost Randy Hubert to Papillion as their football coach, and now after 30 years, Bill Wolford has done so many things. The Hall of Famer is going to be stepping down. They won a 1991 state championship. We've had the coach on the show before. They were a runner-up 6 different times. So best of luck to Coach Wolford, and congratulations. What a run he has had, and we'll get a chance to talk with him again here down the stretch, as there's only not even a month of the wrestling season still to go. Districts are on the 13th and 14th in the state, February 19th through the 21st. We'll have you completely covered on our Platte River Radio network of stations. And don't forget, we're also your home, exclusive home, for, again, the 8th Annual Heartland Hoops Classic. Every game on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com coming up on February the 14th. Hey, folks, we're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram GMC, with 2 locations and over 550 vehicles to choose from. Midway is sure to have the vehicle you are searching for. You can stop by South 2nd Avenue or visit them online at thinkmidway.com. ThinkMidway.com to start your one-stop shopping experience today. The big finish is going on. Get special 2.9% 72 months and bonus cash back from the dealer, plus the everyday hassle-free prices from your Midway Auto dealership. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, but no matter what, stop by and see them either in person or online at ThinkMidway.com. ESPN National Recruiting Director Tom Luganville will join us, plus Seattle Seahawks offensive line coach Pat Rule, all coming up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. a very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some clearing developing around the area as well today, with highs up about 44. North winds will stay gusting at 20 to 35. For tonight, with clear skies, we'll head down to 19. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself.
Daddy Daddy's Show rolling on this Thursday. Getting ready for Super Bowl weekend. Already some of the Super Bowl commercials are out on social media, online, where you could watch them, and there's a couple of them that are very, very good. And without getting into detail, some of our favorites, including the Clydesdales, have hit another home run this year. So, and one that's just absolutely awesome that I can't believe hasn't been done before. You know the astronomical price of a 30-second, let alone a 60-second commercial in the Super Bowl. And I don't know who spearheaded this one, but there is like 34 different brands that they shove into one Super Bowl commercial. It's like a married couple bouncing around the house. Hey, we're drinking this beer. We're sleeping in this bed. We're using this kind of tissue. We're eating these kind of salsas. It's pretty funny. So just a couple of what I've seen so far out there. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and Kulix Topics, located right there in Hastings for you. We asked you, should 6-6 Division I football programs be allowed to play in bowl games? Is there just too many? And that allows these 6-6s in there, but should they be allowed to play? 60% of you say, I don't like it that way. 40% said, eh, what the heck? It's football. Let them play. Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com on today's Midtown Mart Cooler question. There are currently two undefeated teams remaining in men's college basketball, Kentucky and Virginia. Which one of these teams do you feel has the best chance of winning the tournament at the end of the season? Not who's going undefeated the longest, as co-host Randy Bushcutter thinks Kentucky will run the table. Kentucky or Virginia, who do you think has the best chance of winning the tournament? Probably Kentucky would be my vote, but Virginia has the best defense right now of all the major college basketball teams. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com on the Midtown Mart Cooler Question. National Letter of Intent signing day now less than a week away. And let's get the very latest from ESPN National Recruiting Director Tom Luganville here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tom, good morning. As we've been talking the last couple of weeks, it's like Christmas Eve, Eve.
It really is. You know, everybody is starting to grind. Now we're seeing the finish line, and no, recruiting's a marathon, not a sprint. And if you're not doing everything you can down to the wire, then you're probably not going to be overly successful or happy on National Signing Day.
Tom, we noticed that about five of the top six ESPN 300 guys will make their announcement on National Letter of Intent Signing Day. Part of that's media. Maybe one or two don't know. How many of the big guys still are legitimately deciding on where they're going to go to college with less than a week till signing day?
Well, I think several of them are. I, you know, you look at Byron Cowart, our number one ranked player. You look at offensive tackle Martez Ivy. you know, those two guys, I think, have made up their minds. Neither one of them's taking an official visit on the last weekend. I think they're through with their in-home visits with coaches. They know where they're going to go. But I think, by and large, those who have not made their decision are still going to be welcoming coaches into the home. We're going to be taking an official visit on the last weekend to, you know, hopefully, you know, gather that final bit of information to help them make the most educated choice that they can make. But I think most kids to this point, as they've gone through the process for the last 15 to 18 months, have a pretty good idea of where they're leaning and feel pretty good about it.
Obviously, everyone wants to get your thoughts on Mike Riley and Nebraska. He's one of many coaches that have moved to a new spot. We talked yesterday that Nebraska, as far as the talent in this part of the country, isn't the biggest hotbed, but they sure are hitting social media and letting everybody know where they have been. How big a splash can they make in such a short amount of time?
Well, they've already made a pretty significant one. To be able to lure Jalen Barnett and get him locked up and do it with a pretty good splash, because they did it pretty quickly, I think is really, really important. You know, there's challenges for Nebraska. As you referenced, the player pool is not overly plentiful. And, you know, we had done a study with Nebraska's class last year, and, you know, the average miles away from campus of every signee was over 900 miles away. And that creates significant challenges, which is why Mike Riley and his staff, they're getting very creative with social media. They're branching out. They're casting a wide net. You know, Nebraska for a long, long time was a national brand. I think it still is, but there's so many more competitors in the water now. And so I think it's important to utilize every resource that you can out there and get as many kids on campus as possible. And, you know, one of the reasons why I really believe that Mike Riley was hired at Nebraska is not only because he's a good coach and he's a good man, but if you've ever been to Corvallis, Oregon, you'd realize it's not easy to recruit there. And sometimes when you've had success doing that, there's generally a reason. There's a strategy. There's a blueprint. And so far, I think what we're seeing right now is that blueprint being implemented.
We're talking with ESPN National Recruiting Director Tom Luganville. Lincoln, a step up from Corvallis. We have definitely heard stories how Coach Riley will have a lot more resources and things to recruit to here in Lincoln. Who are they working against? We know Ohio State and Coach Harbaugh at Michigan are going to be big-time players every single year. I'm a little surprised to see how well Penn State's doing out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, and Penn State, keep in mind, is starting to get some of their scholarship back little by little, and you know, we haven't seen the 3-9 dip that everybody was expecting to see. So they've remained more relevant because they've remained more competitive. You know, with Nebraska, I don't think their challenges aren't so much other programs. Their challenges are getting kids to campus and kids from other regions and other people's backyards. Because if you look at the states that Nebraska borders on, you're going to have to go beyond those states, by and large, to compete with the best players in the country in just about every direction. That's the greatest challenge for Nebraska, because once you get a kid on campus at that place, with the facilities, with the tradition, with the resources, you've got a significant opportunity to close the deal with just about any young man that comes to campus. But certainly when you're kind of caught in that quasi in-between area of being in Big Ten country, but also being in Big 12 country, you're basically battling everybody.
We're talking with ESPN National Recruiting Director Tom Luganville here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Tom, on a national scene, Ole Miss made a splash here recently, kind of come out of nowhere. Do we have a school that is set to make a big splash on the signing day this year that's kind of off the radar?
Well, I think Tennessee going down the stretch has an opportunity to finish strong for 2 years in a row, and are really building a nice nucleus for Butch Jones and his staff. But if there were two teams that I think could just absolutely close with magnificent results, I would say it would be Auburn out of the SEC and USC out of the Pac-12. The relationships that Will Muschamp had already established while at the University of Florida with uncommitted prospects in the state of Florida are really, in my opinion, going to pay dividends now that he's the defensive coordinator at Auburn. With USC, I think so much of it has to do with two things. It's a really strong year in California, and kids have not committed. They've been open. And now SC is off of their scholarship sanctions in NCAA probation. And so they're back up to full tilt. I think they will clean house in the state of California and close really, really strong.
And Tom, the big non-conference game for the Huskers in a couple of years will be Oregon. Scott Frost may be still there, coming home as the OC. What's Oregon's class look like?
Pretty sharp, actually. I think that there's concerns naturally with what are they going to do at quarterback. I don't know if you saw in the recent news that they've actually offered a scholarship to a player who's already playing in another program. And that, to me, that reflects what they think about what they currently have in-house. So that's certainly a concern, quarterback. But what they've really done a good job of, in my opinion, is adding a player along the defensive front in Canton Kamatule out of Hawaii, who arguably could be the best player they've had there since Halote Nata along the defensive front. So if we've seen Oregon and we've had areas where they've struggled, it's been matching up with people in the trenches that can overwhelm them. And so that's certainly a nice pickup in the right direction.
And what about Marcus Mariota's little brother? How good is he compared to where Marcus was at this stage?
Well, he's going to be a walk-on prospect at a defensive line position that I think is going to be a player that would probably develop into a special teams contributor and provide some depth.
Tom Luganbill, ESPN's National Recruiting Director, will let you out of here with this one. We talked about it yesterday as well. Is it too soon for an Ohio State to make a splash? They've already got their class, or because they won the national championship, they might hook a couple more?
No, I think they're fine right now with their class. And generally when you see the type of results that a team like Ohio State just had, you're going to see the fruits of the labor come in the next class with the next group of prospects in this next recruiting cycle. That's why I would expect to see a reaction off of their national championship.
ESPNU, the home for National Signing Day, 10th consecutive year covering the start of the college football season. 11 hours starting next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Central Time. Of course, the former co-host of our show, Matt Schick, will be along with Tom Luganbill, Craig Halbert, and a variety of great folks. So we'll check it all out. And Tom, we appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know it's a busy time for you, so keep up the great work. Thanks for the time.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me.
Tom Luganbill joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We thank Tom. We thank Craig yesterday for joining us from the national offices as they get ready. Man, Nebraska still has some spots out there. Who are they going to fill in? We will have a little bit more for you on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show as we hit the home stretch. And, of course, plenty coming up, not just for the Huskers on Wednesday, but the Lopers, the Broncos. We'll keep you up to date on how all the signing is going as well. We're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast. A couple of stories to pass along to you, and then we're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour here by Pat Rule, offensive line coach of the Seattle Seahawks, as they, this afternoon and tonight, that's it. They are entrenched. They don't have to worry about doing any more interviews that you see every morning from Scottsdale and from Arizona where everything's going on. They will be in full meeting mode, full weekend game day mode as they get ready for Sunday. So we'll talk with him about that. If you're making plans to see the Nebraska-Iowa men's basketball game on February the 22nd, that had been a to-be-announced. It has been announced. 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, February the 22nd, the game will be part of the Big Ten Wild Card Weekend and shown on the Big Ten Network. Iowa's first trip to Pinnacle Bank Arena. The last time they met was back in the 2013 portion of the season. Iowa won the first matchup this year, 70-59, pulled away real late. Nebraska actually had a lead in the last 5 minutes. The game's already a sellout, but tickets will become available from time to time, so continue to check the Husker Athletic Office and Huskers.com. Tickets are still available for the February 3rd contest when they return home to take on Northwestern, so check that out as well. And the preseason MIAA softball coaches poll is out. The baseball poll should be out shortly. Emporia State selected to finish atop the standings, getting 12 of the 14 votes. They finished atop the standings last year. Central Oklahoma is second. For UNK, they are 12th out of the 14-team league, which is to be expected until each individual sport shows that they can make that jump in the MIAA. They'll continue to be in the bottom tier, and some sports have. Volleyball, wrestling, we're starting to see basketball and baseball move up. Be interested to see where baseball comes in, because they're right around some of these national polls that look at Division II. A couple of teams are rated. Two or three more are getting votes. UNK is one of those. So I'd expect when the coaches poll comes out, UNK will be fifth, maybe fourth in that poll. We'll find out and pass it along to you as well. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we're excited when we come back to catch up with the offensive line coach of the world champion Seattle Seahawks, Pat Rhule. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Take a lunch break today at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a taste-tempting variety of salads, sandwiches, burgers, and wraps. And check today's special. Beef and noodles, just $6.25. Full bar service. And you can play live draw keno and watch and wager on thoroughbred racing from all the top tracks. Watch the big game Sunday at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a Custom Pack of Hastings get our fresh ground ham loaf mix, only $3.38 a pound. Swift Premium Center Cut Boneless Pork Loins, just $2.79 a pound. And a 6-pound box of 16 6-ounce char patties, only $22.95 each. It's all a Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
It's the most unique high school basketball event in the state. The Heartland Hoops Classic, February 14th, showcasing 12 schools, 6 games, beginning at 11 a.m. in the comfort of the Heartland Event Center. Your ticket is good for the entire day. See Amherst Ravenna, St. Cecilia BDS,
Omaha Scott Norfolk Catholic,
Aurora GICC,
Elkhorn South Columbus SCOTUS,
Oak Hill Academy Omaha South. Buy tickets at the Heartland Event Center box office or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. They're getting things set over in Australia, down under. Here we go. We've got one thing left for the men tonight. It will be Andy Murray beating Thomas Perdich, and he'll wait to see whether he gets Novak Djokovic or Stan Wawrinka. Wawrinka is the defending champion, and Djokovic is the number one seed. That should be a whale of a match overnight. Last night, 3 matches. We saw on the women's side Serena Williams get tested, but she was able to beat Madison Keys, who had beaten her sister Venus the night before, 7-6, 6-2, and Maria Sharapova cruising on 6-3, 6-2. I don't know. There's a lot of history here if Serena Williams wins on a Saturday, which would be our Friday night. I just got a feeling. It seems like Sharapova's due. I mean, was she 2-16 against her? I would not be opposed if you're going out to Vegas for the Super Bowl, seeing our good buddy Mike Perenio or Jay Rood, who's going to join us tomorrow, the vice president of MGM Grand, to maybe make an investment. Because I bet the line's pretty good on Sharapova. We'll see how that all plays out. It just seems like somebody that's not the number one seed always wins. Now, having the 1 and 2 seed, I should look this up here during our next break. I can't imagine how many times the 1 and 2 have actually played each other. It's more common on the men's side. Tiger Woods going to tee it up today. Phil Mickelson already out there. Has the Phoenix Open gotten out of control? I mean, wow. But it looks like they're having fun, and it's early in the season before everybody has to get real serious. But then Saturday and Sunday, they get serious. There is money on the line. NBA, well, let's face it, we don't talk a lot about it on the show until it becomes playoff time. But a couple of things worth noting. The Hawks have won 17 in a row after last night's victory over Brooklyn, and Kyrie Irving scores more than half of Cleveland's points. LeBron James was out again. He has 55 points. That's the best by any single player from any team so far this year. He hit 11 threes. He must have looked at the tape of the Noakes kid from Centura the other night and knocked down 11 threes. So that's what's going on there. Also, Hastings women's basketball remains 17th in this week's NAIA Division II poll. The men and women will play at Dort on Saturday. And Nebraska senior catcher Steph Pasquale, a first-year transfer from Temple who was an All-American in 2013, is on the USA Softball College Player of the Year watch list. There are 50 players in all that make that list. And by the way, we didn't mention that Creighton did finally snap their nine-game losing streak last night. They beat St. John's, who was coming off that emotional game with Duke where they were trying to prevent a career win, number 1,000 for Mike Krzyzewski, which did not happen on Sunday. So finally, Creighton gets in the win column with a 77-74 victory. Super Bowl 49 getting ready for Sunday night's kickoff at 5:30 here on ESPN Radio, and it is a pleasure to welcome in a member of the world champion coaching staff of the Seattle Seahawks. Pat Rhule joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time during this very busy week. What's it like? What's it like in Arizona?
Well, let me just say this. You know, when we went to the first one in New York, we were ecstatic and crazy and nothing's changed. I just want you to know.
the target's on your back, or is it a lot? There's not that much difference between.
You know
being
what?
The winner?
I don't. No, I'll tell you what. We don't. The way we do things, we don't even think about that as much as we. You know, everything to us is kind of a what's next deal, and it's. I think that way we kind of keep things. In perspective, you know, and we don't try not to get caught up in all the hype, even though that they're going to bring it all. This week's crazy. I mean, we just we try to keep a pretty level position through the whole thing, you know, and I think that's because that's the best thing for our players and helps them, you know, maneuver through the journey, you know.
Talking with Pat Rhule, he's the offensive line coach of the world champion Seattle Seahawks. And, Coach, a lot was made of in the press conference, or at least a little was made in the press conference earlier this week, of how maybe about a quarter of the team is different from the one that won the world championship last year. How much of your line is different from the one that was in the Super Bowl last year?
Well, it's really pretty much the same, except for left guard position, you know, but that was alternated with the guy that's playing there now. You know, I would say the line has pretty much stayed the same. And then we lost our right tackle. So that's probably the biggest. Our right tackle went to the New York Jets, Breno Giacomini did. And, we replaced him with a rookie named Justin Britt from Missouri. So, and he's done an absolutely marvelous job. So we're pretty happy with what we have there, and he will continue to get better as the years go, I hope.
Well, obviously your line's been doing a great job blocking for one of the great backs in the National Football League in Marshawn Lynch. I guess the question, Pat, is do you like Skittles?
No, I don't really like Skittles. I'm kind of more of a chocolate guy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but, we're leaving. We had a huge crowd sending us off from Seattle. The 12 fans are like, they're just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. They're so, even when we were playing not too good in the last game and they're so supportive and they just stayed there and hung in there and we ended up winning the game. But, you know, I kind of had a greater appreciation for them in the last game. And, cause we were not playing very good in the first half and had turnovers and everything. And they just, didn't hear hardly any booing or anything. They just were just saying, hey, come on, let's go. You know, and it was great. And, then we, the send off, they've gotten into throwing Skittles at the bus. So I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, that's kind of a waste of some good Skittles, but since I don't like them, I don't mind. And then I thought, you know, It's too bad it isn't Hershey Kisses. I'd probably try to get this window open.
I bet they'd find a way for you to do that. Pat Rule's the, he's the offensive line coach of the world champion Seahawks, and he's joining us this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What about that offense and the way there were some struggles, obviously, earlier in the year, and some of that I think gets pinned on trying to come through all those things of being a world champion and all those commitments and getting refocused on football. At what point did things start clicking again for you?
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, Pete Carroll's the best. He's the best in the business, and I believe that. And I've worked for a lot of good guys. I mean, I've had, you know, I've been with Nick Saban. I've been with Bobby Ross, you know, and Tom Coughlin. And, you know, I mean, I've been with some really quality guys. And the thing is that Pete has such a great handle on team chemistry and what makes a team function and how it should function. And I think right after you win a Super Bowl, there's so much attention to individuals with sponsors and this and that. And I think some of our team, we were just not so much focused on being a team as much as we were focused on, you know, what the other guy was getting, what I was getting, what those kind of things. I think he recognized it and you know, addressed it with them. And they said, you know, you're right. So that was probably around game seven, right around there. I said, you know, we kind of realized we were not playing the way we were capable of. And then from that point on, the whole team bought into the idea that we're playing for each other. You know, that's the most, we're not judging each other. We're just playing for each other. And so, you know, it's kind of cool. So,
Pat, obviously, for the folks that don't know, your relationship with Coach Carroll goes all the way back to the mid to late 70s. You guys came together on a Lou Holtz staff to Arkansas, and of course, the time you spent together at USC and everything in between. What's it like kind of working in this business with the same guy as friends, as guys you've known since your young age, and you can kind of pretty much know what each other's doing almost like some players can do?
Well, I think because of the prior experience of being together, because of we kind of kept in touch along the way. I think two things. I think at least I know I have a great appreciation for where he was and where he has come, and how much he has constantly developed. You know, some people, you know, I always make a kid around about, you know, the doctor that wants to fix you with 1970 technology, you know. Well, you know, I mean, it's because he, you know, graduated from medical school in the 60s. And so when he started practicing, you know, he was using 70 technology, but he didn't pursue the things that would make him better along the way and continue to be at the top of his profession. Pete Carroll has done that. He has pursued it and pursued it and pursued it. And he has, you know, basically he's competed to be the very best. And he knew that the only way you could do that was to stay on the cutting edge of things and try to, you know, here's the hard part. You have to have a philosophy, and when you do cutting-edge things, it has to fall inside of that philosophy you have. And so, I mean, you know, his philosophy is about always compete, and we do it in everything. I mean, you know, if we're just having a pass rush drill, you know, we're counting them up, and, you know, we do, you know, team together, and we'll have a conference, you know, like right at the end of practice, and you know, he'll say, all right, we got five plays, and we're counting to see who wins, offense or defense, you know. And it's so funny, you know, coaches, he's always says, nothing can end in a tie. We always have to have a winner. So so it's pretty funny. I mean, you know, and then I think sometimes he orchestrates the ties just so that he can get the one extra play to see how everybody reacts. there's good teaching there, because what it teaches the guys to do is to just do the right things at the right time. Because too many times that you try too hard to win, and you mess it up. It's not because you're not good enough to win. It's because you're trying too hard. And, you know, I know that from golf. I play golf with some guys one time, and they were smashing that ball down there about 280, and I said, well, I can hit it down there that far, and I reared back and swung extra hard, and I was about 280 into the woods.
We could play golf together, Pat. We could do
that.
Yeah,
really.
Pat Rule is the offensive line coach of the world champion Seattle Seahawks with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So kind of following on that, Pat, it's the Super Bowl. It's not week 9 of the season. How do you keep everything intact to just play football, even though it's the biggest game of most of these guys' lives?
Well, I think, again, that's that kind of falls into coach's philosophy that, you know, every game's a championship game. This just happens to be the real one. And but we play them all like they're championship games. I mean, it's to us, it is a what's next mentality. Hey, you know, we played a championship game last week, and we're going to play another one this week. And then we'll, you know, next. I mean, it's like there's nothing after this one, but that's the mentality we have. And in the locker room, I promise you, we win this game, and somebody's going to say, "What's next?" You know, I mean, it's like, "Hey, okay, where do we go now?" And you know, I guess we'll just compete to have fun at the White House, I guess, if we can make it that far again.
Yeah, if you get two.
Some guys went to the White House last year and said, "Man, they just didn't get a chance to tell Obama what they wanted to tell him." And so he said, "Well, this might be your chance to do it if we can pull off another championship game." So,
yeah. Well, if you get two in a row, they're always going to ask you about three in a row before you get out of the stadium. So,
yeah.
Pat, give me a little thought here on what you're seeing from New England. This is a defense that apparently has gotten a lot better over the last month of the season.
Oh yeah, they're huge, by the way. They got two guys inside that could qualify as eclipse people. They can eclipse the sun. One's Vince Woolfolk. He's like 6'1", and I swear to God, he looks 270 or 370 on the film. Now, they list him at like 325, but I'm not buying that one. And then there, Alan Branch, who we had him at Seattle, and he's a legit 6'5.5", and I bet he's running about 335, 340. And then number 96 is the other defensive end. He's a short guy too, and he weighs about 330. So they're really big. So I mean, you know, normally we see defensive linemen, you know, we see them and they run in from about 290 to 300 range, and these guys are about 330 to 370 range. So it's a big group of guys there. That's our first test. I mean, it's to handle those three guys and, you know, get some push on them. And that'll be our first test. And then they've got a linebacker, 91, Jamie Collins. He's an excellent athlete, and he's got great instincts. And you know, he's really, I think, one of the guys that's kind of brought their defense up a notch. We got our hands full.
Pat Rule, the offensive line coach of the Seattle Seahawks, joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's been gracious with his time, says he'll stick with us through the break. We've got a lot more to get to. He's got a couple of good stories, and we haven't even brought up Deflategate. The coach is going to stand by, and we'll be back with more of the offensive line coach, Pat Rule, from the Seattle Seahawks after this.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. If you're tired of all those weight loss gimmicks and get-thin-quick plans that just don't work, come see me. Health and nutrition start with the basics, and no one plan works for everyone. I will help you find the right vitamins and supplements to help you look and feel your best. Live well is GNC's motto, and we want everyone to live the best life possible each and every day. Plus, save 20% off your purchases every day at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
A couple months back, my wife had an accident. Everybody was all right, but her car was a mess. She was all upset, but I told her it's no big deal because we have insurance and the body shop at Crossroads Ford. Crossroads can do it all, from door dings and hail damage to fender benders and major body work. Her car was looking like new in no time and with no insurance hassles. Well, thanks to a deer, now it's my turn. Thankfully, they work on all makes and models. Small enough to know you, big enough to help you. Crossroads Ford, North 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
Oh, it'll get emotional. It'll get sentimental. Sunday night around 9:30 when Super Bowl 49 is in the books. Will New England capture a fourth world championship? Will Seattle repeat? It'll be interesting to find out, and we are talking with the offensive line coach of the Seattle Seahawks in Pat Rhule, and he has been gracious to join us through the break. And Pat, before we let you out of here, obviously the Seahawks, us being in Nebraska here, ton of Denver fans whose hearts you guys crushed last year. Is it a different feeling? Do you feel more confident, more prepared? Is New England look like a tougher matchup? Can you give us a little sense of how you're feeling this week before New England as compared to how you felt at this time last year?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I think that's kind of how we do things. Well, we don't focus too much on the other team, you know, as much as we focus on our own execution and what we're doing. Because I think when you start focusing on, like I told you about the players. Now the players don't probably look at it that way. They look at it just another guy standing in front of them. I was giving you heights and weights that they don't really care too much about it. What they're really focused on is execution of their assignments. And what's really funny is if you do that, if you take that approach, you're always much better. To me, it's like this. If you are playing golf and you're looking down the fairway and you see water on the right and the sand traps on the left, if you even think about those, of that water and sand traps, you're already in trouble, you know? And what we try to do is say, hey, look, just focus right. You know, let's focus down the middle at the task at hand. Don't let any of this the side stuff get you off track, because it can't. You know, them talking too much about the matchups and this and that. We don't want to go into that. We want to just say, hey, we're going to be the best we can on every single play as long as we can, and that's basically what we try to do, and try to do right longer than the other guy.
Pat Rhule, offensive line coach, world champion Seattle Seahawks. Last question, Pat. You've spent so much time, and again, referencing us here in Nebraska, without a true pro team to follow. It's obviously a college state with the Huskers, but you spent numerous amount of years, over 25 years, in the college game. There's so much talk of the pros now with a Russell Wilson about how that talent goes to the next level. Translates is the word they use a lot, translates to the next level. Do you look for a totally different type of guy now, or are the offensive linemen still offensive linemen that can chew you up and spit you out?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think, and I really believe this more than anything. I believe that if you choose a guy based solely on talent, you're going to make a lot of mistakes in this game. I think, you know, you have to, it's kind of like, it's kind of like buying a house. If you buy a house totally on what it looks like on the outside, you could be disappointed very much. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You can find out, well, this isn't what I wanted at all. I think that, you know, there's a lot being done to explore more what is the makeup of that individual, what that individual can bring character-wise, leadership-wise to your team. And he doesn't have to be a great leader, a team captain. But what he does have to be, he does have to be a competitor. He has to be a competitor. And he has to have character enough that he won't allow himself to fall into what I call an unprofessional. You know, there are a lot of guys that are so talented, and maybe Johnny Manziel is one. He's extremely talented, but you know, if he's going to be late for a meeting and he's not going to study and he's not, that will be his downfall unless he corrects it. And so, that's where all the mistakes are made in the draft. They're made on not so much talent. They're made on what the makeup of the guy is. And I think we're fast moving in that area. And I can't believe we went all this time and you never asked me about the Deflategate.
We're just as tired of it as everybody else, aren't you, Pat? You guys have never done anything crazy there. I'm sure of it.
Well, somebody mentioned the other day, you know, that little move where Marshawn grabs his crotch, that he's been fined for.
Yeah.
They're saying, I think Marshawn was telling somebody the other day, he's just checking his PSI. So I said, okay. You know, that's a good answer. It's an unbelievable thing that, so much focus has gone on to that. And, we would like, and as much as the other team as well, New England would like just the focus to be on the game itself, but somebody's going to get to the bottom of it eventually, and then we might have some answers. But right now, we just want to prepare and play. That's what we want to do.
Pat, I was going to give you a chance to talk about all those great days being a coach at the University of Kansas. I figured you might have had a comment for us on that.
Well, I did. I do. And I want to. Being at Kansas and playing Nebraska, two quick items. When my first year there, John Hadle's on the staff with us, and he played at Kansas, and so we're playing Nebraska and at home, and it's like 31 to nothing or something, and it's not even halftime yet, and we have the ball, we're marching down, getting a little drive going, we kick a field goal, and the fans are all, standing up, waving their hands. And I said, John, what are they doing? He goes, they're waving the wheat. And I said, we just kicked a field goal. And he goes, well, that's the first time we've scored on them in 2 years. They're happy. I said, oh my God. So that's where my first relationship with Nebraska, I was like, really? And then I checked the record books and we hadn't beaten them in so long. I was like, oh my goodness. So next one is we're back at our place again. And I proceed to run June Henley down the field and we score, making it, we had 21 and we had 20.
Yeah.
And so, we were going to go for the win. We're going to kick for the tie, so we're going to go for the win. And our two-point play, was a little pick route, with three receivers on the right-hand side, and the quarterback kind of half rolls, hits one of them kind of quickly, and, we felt good about it. Well, ironically, Nebraska lines up. The guy who's supposed to be covering the tight end is not over there. He's made a mistake, and he's covering the guy that we're going to try to. So we now have two guys in and out on the guy that we're trying to get the ball to. And I'm trying to call a timeout on the sideline because I'm going, oh, my God, they're lined up wrong. There's nobody on the tight end. Our quarterback's not going to see this. And so I'm trying to call a timeout. Well, oddly enough, Charlie McBride over there looked like he was trying to call a timeout too because the tight end was – nobody was covering him. He was just free to run down the – so, all right, neither one of us get the timeout called in, and we, you know, roll the right and try to force it in there. It gets deflected and game over, and Nebraska wins, you know, national championship. Tom Osborne sends Mace, like, three or four ties, like, meaning, hey, I appreciate that you didn't go for the tie, so here's some ties for you.
We know about deflected two-point conversions up here, too, Pat, man.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I said to myself, yeah, these guys, well, and the last thing about it was when Tom Osborne was there, I said to myself, he ran a double reverse on us, and the score was like 45-10, and it was fourth quarter, and he runs a double reverse and for a score. And a bunch of the coaches on the sideline said, I can't believe he's running up the score on us. And I said, you know what? I was the offensive coordinator, so I felt I had the need to say this. I turned to them and I said, I want to be just like them.
Give us that opportunity.
I just want my players to have fun playing. That's all he did. He wanted his players to have fun playing, and he didn't want to practice all these trick plays and not call them. And that, you know, that if you do that, the players all start to think you're nuts. You put in these trick plays or double reverse pass or, you know, whatever, flea flicker, and then you don't even call it. You know, so he, you know, Tom Osborne made me a better offensive coordinator because I'd put in trick plays and I'd make sure I called them in the first quarter.
Did you have any say in the fake field goal?
Did I have any say
in
the fake field goal? No, no. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. I was like, we were sitting there. I'm thinking, well, you know, God dang, we didn't get a touchdown here. And I said, you know, 3 points is not going to do us that much good. But 3 points is 3 points. Yeah. So, and then all of a sudden, one of the guys in the staff said, I think we're faking it. And I said, really? And about that time, they snapped the ball, you know. So that's how much the guys in the box knew. I mean, it was double top secret until it got to the field. And that was pretty awesome. That kind of kicked it off a little bit for us. And obviously getting the onside kick was huge. And you know what? The funniest part of that thing was the 3,000 or 4,000 people that walked out of the game and said, well, that's it. We can't win. And they got outside and then they heard this big roar and they said, well, what happened? And the security guy said, oh, they just scored. And they go, well, maybe we had to go back in. So they go, no, you can't go back in. And then they hear another roar. And they said, what happened? He says, well, they just got the onside kick. And then they hear another roar. They just scored again. And they hear another roar. And they go, oh, my God, they got the two. And they're all locked out, you know, because they won't let them back in. And I'm thinking, wow, you paid $240 to see 57 minutes of pretty bad football. And all the, you know, the whole thing, the last 3 minutes or 4 minutes of the game was just, you know, crazy. So.
Amazing. Yeah, don't leave the game early. There's nothing to get home to. Come on, people.
No, that's exactly right. You never know what's going to happen. And I think that's true loyalty, too, is when you just hang in there with your team, and sometimes good things will happen. So,
well, Pat, you have been more than gracious with your time this morning with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know we're...
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
I'm going to be rooting, and I know a lot of people will be rooting for Seattle now that we have neutral teams from this part of the country in the Super Bowl. So we'll let you get back to preps, and maybe we could do it again sometime on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me on, and Happy New Year to you guys.
Thanks, Pat. Pat Rhule. Wow, a lot of stories, huh, folks? Pat Rhule, offensive line coach, has been in this business for well over 30 years and has been at a lot of spots along the way. And it was great to have a chance to catch up with the world champion, offensive line coach, Seattle Seahawks, Pat Rhule, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. If you miss any of it, if you miss any of our interviews, if you miss any of the shows, something you want to hear again, they're always up there on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Download, listen for free whenever you want to, and we will have more for you tomorrow. I want to thank Pat again for joining us on the program today, and we'll wrap it up with that. Can't do much better than a world champion. You've got Olympians on the show, world champions on the show. We've had Indy champions on the show, just national champs, champs, and more champs from all levels of the world. And we appreciate Pat Rhule for joining us on the show today. Also, ESPN National Recruiting Director Tom Luganville for joining us on the program today. Tomorrow, we head out to Vegas for the very latest from the MGM Grand. It is Jay Rood, vice president of the entire organization out there, to talk Super Bowl lines, where the money's going. It's a very thin waiver since 2 weeks ago when Seattle opened as the favorite, and now New England. You can even have to give a point if you're a New England fan. We'll see how it's set in just a couple of days before the Super Bowl. Also, Nate Klaus from Huskers Online will join us for the very latest in Nebraska football recruiting as National Letter of Intent Day is coming up on Wednesday. For our producer, Brent, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.